because 100% of the disciples doubted in his resurrection. And personally, I don't know if I believe in the resurrection myself. Now, most of you are probably thinking, what is wrong with her? I mean, seriously, who do I think I am standing up here the week after Easter asking if we all even believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? But stick with me. When I was a young child, I was extremely scared of the dark. I always needed my little nightlight or for the door to be slightly cracked open because I was scared of what lied across the room or lurked under my bed. But now looking back at my nighttime terror, what I find the most interesting is that it was always my same room. I was never scared with the lights on because I knew what was there. It was clear to me to see. It was just the fact that I could not see and I did not know what was there that made me nervous. This is very much related to the way I view my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not that I don't believe, I just don't know. Just like my dark room, I can't see, so it makes me nervous and therefore unable to understand. In fact, it comforts me to know that I'm not alone in my uncertainty, because in the original Greek version of the Bible reading, it stated that all the disciples doubted, every single one. It is so extremely interesting to me that we were so uncomfortable with the fact that all of the disciples were unsure that we decided to add the word some to the English version of the text. I think we all need to embrace being unsure and not knowing. We all need to sit in the dark room, unsure, yet take a leap of faith and be comfortable with not knowing.
Not knowing.
I know I am. I can say I am 100% certain that I'm not sure of anything. In my life, I've gone through a lot of faith transitions. In elementary school, I believed the Bible verbatim, and I trusted the adults around me implicitly. But as I grew and learned more in school, something kept nagging at me. A lot of things stopped adding up. I started having serious doubts. I mean, how does an all-knowing being allow children to have bone cancer? How was I supposed to put my faith in somebody who did allow that? What reason would I have to believe in something I couldn't smell, hear, or see? I remember a specific incident where a few weeks after I came to these realizations, I also came to the realization that my understanding of what happened with the offertory was probably also false. See, what I had thought to be true was that the offertory went to God, in a very literal sense. I imagined that after every service, somebody would place the offertory on a pedestal outside, and God would vacuum it up into heaven. I was honestly quite scandalized when I realized this was probably not the case. Needless to say, I was a little bit confused about it all. A lot of these questions I found unanswerable to my satisfaction. So I became an atheist at the time. It was the only way I saw where I could reconcile the stark difference between what I saw was being told to me in church, what I was being taught in science class, and what I was perceiving in the world around me. And I'll be honest, I saw organized religion as bad for society. I saw politicians perverting scripture to fit their deeply held biases and basing their bigotry wholly on the Bible as a shield. And even though I obviously knew that wasn't all or even most Christians, nor was it the Christians around me, it felt hard to believe in a book that actively told me that what I felt and what I knew to be true of myself was wrong and sinful. I held a lot of misplaced anger, aiming at my anger not at those who use the scripture for hate, but instead at those who would follow scripture in the first place. I kept coming to church, mostly for bell choir and logos. I still felt kinship here even when I was doubting, more than doubting. But at some point in high school, something changed. A lot of it through going through my confirmation process and having deep conversations on religion regularly. My perspective shifted, and I realized that while I may not consider the Bible to be 100% literal, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have important lessons for me. I became more comfortable with understanding that for these lessons, it didn't matter if it really happened or not, because the moral was still important and the same. I started calling myself agnostic instead, and I still do today. It allows me to read the Bible and learn its lessons without needing to be convinced of anything. I can just learn and practice. At the beginning, I asked all of you here who was not comfortable not knowing and not being sure. And for me, I could have it no other way. I wouldn't feel authentic saying I had no doubts about heaven or hell or God. I wouldn't be telling you the truth if I said I believed in a 6,000-year-old earth. And I'm not positive if I believe in the resurrection either. But I know that regardless of whether what I believe to be the truth, my actions will always matter more. Even when the disciples didn't believe in Jesus' resurrection, but like all of the disciples who doubted, I'm choosing to show up anyway.
Has anyone here ever taken a leap of faith?
If you have, was it passion or your trust in God that led you to jump? For me, it's my passion that's driving me to take my leap. Mostly because I'm not sure if my faith is strong enough to keep me heading towards my goal. My struggle with faith stems from the fact that I sometimes have had trouble trusting the idea that God has a plan for me. I struggled with this for the past 4 years because I never knew if what I was doing was what I was supposed to be doing. Was I supposed to fail that test? Was I supposed to put a dent in the side of my dad's car? Or my mom's? Was I supposed to make that person upset? Was I supposed to think that everything I did was wrong? I started to wonder about why we did anything at all if God had a plan for us and already knew what we were going to do. I wondered why I had to make decisions if my choices had already been predetermined. And because of that, I felt like I had no control over my own future. I didn't know what to do or where to go to get help coping with that existential crisis. The only place that came to mind was the church, but I was nervous to come at first because it had become a place full of uncertainty in my mind. And the idea of going to morning service every Sunday seemed a bit overwhelming. So as a compromise, I decided to start to go to Logos again. And I hoped that I would learn something new, something that would ultimately relieve me of the stress that I felt coming from the fog-covered valley of unanswered questions. It had been the first time in a while where I had showed up to Fair Oaks on a Wednesday night, and I'm not going to lie, I was really nervous. But little did I know that that was my first little leap of faith. And because of that leap, I ended up having a great time. And after I had gotten comfortable being back in church and being back in Logos, I started to be more open and more vulnerable around my fellow FOPSU members. I don't think that my youth group really knows this, but they truly helped me become more sure of myself. And because of their love, support, and willingness to give their undivided attention to hear about any of my problems, whether they be big or small, they helped me realize that if God really does have a plan for me, then it's for me to find it on my own. And after that realization, I became more optimistic about my future. And I started to take steps into finding out what I wanted to do with my life after school. And I found that something. I feel called to it. But the trail that leads me to that goal is covered by a tightly wound veil of uncertainty. And if you can't relate to my specific situation, then I want you to think about if you have ever gotten married, had kids, bought a house, or started a new job. Because all of those things, they start with a single leap of faith. So just like Jesus' disciples going to the mountaintop in Galilee, they never really knew what was going to happen. All they knew was that there was hope. So just like them, we all have to take leaps of faith into foreign oceans that have swells full of doubt and ambiguity to find faith, love, and fulfillment.